Well, that's our show. Thanks for spending a lunch hour with us. Special congratulations to friend of the show and Vancouver theater icon Nicola Cavendish for making a triumphant return to the Vancouver stage with 4,000 miles that will be wrapping up this weekend at the Stanley Theater. All our love goes out to Nikki. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, you can send it to DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Stick around. Eleanor is here with Femme Concept. And don't forget Napkin Boy at 3:30 with Nardwar the Human Serviette Presents. I'm going to take next week off. I don't know who's going to be here in my place, but Dave Radio will return in 2 weeks. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
GOSA, the Global Outreach Students Association, offers students the chance to learn about global health and international development while providing students with opportunities for practical experience working within disadvantaged communities both locally and internationally. They also collaborate with other clubs to organize global health-related symposiums and competitions. Executive positions are available. Contact them at ubc.gosa@gmail.com.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Please remember to watch your language.
Look, I can't speak without swearing, and I've only got my grade 10, and I haven't had a cigarette since I've been arrested, and I'm ready to f***ing snap. So I'd like to make a request under the People's Freedom of Choices and Voices Act that I be able to smoke and swear in your courtroom. Because if I can't smoke and swear, I'm f***ed.
The following programming may contain content that some listeners find offensive. If you are sensitive to foul language or explicit content, please turn your radio the f*** off now.
What's up? Good afternoon. It is Friday. This is Femme Concept on CITR Radio 101.9 FM. My name's Eleanor, joined by Erica. What's
Hello.
Up?
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. How are you?
Good. We have a really awesome show today. We're going to be talking politics. We're going to be playing some loud music, some new music, just, you know, hanging out, sending you off on your weekend. Well, we're going to do a phone interview in a few minutes here with a member of Youth Rise Up, which is a youth political or movement organization in the city, and also talking about the teach-in at UBC next week. So, yeah, stay tuned in. Before we do that interview, we're going to start things off with a track. It's called Ballad of a Politician by Regina Spektor.
Shaking hands with other men. This is how it happens. Our carefully laid plans. Shake it, shake it, baby. Shake your ass out in that street. You're gonna make them scream someday. You're gonna make it big. You love so deep, so tender. Your people and your land. You love them till they can't recall who they are again. Work it, baby. Work your way around that room. You're gonna make it big someday. You're gonna make a boom. But I am, but I am, but I am. What your mama gave you, you know that it won't last. You're gonna taste the ground real soon. You're gonna taste the grass. A man inside a room is shaking hands with other men. This is how it happens. Our world under command. Shake it, baby. Shake your ass out in that street. You're gonna make us scream someday. You're gonna make us weep. You're gonna make us scream someday. You're gonna make it big.
All right, that was Toon Yards, Esso from the album Who Kill. So now we're going to talk to Alana about the teach-in. Yeah. We've got her on the phone, ready to give us a bit of a rundown on what's going on. So
are you there, Alana?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome, magic. Cool. Well, thanks so much for calling into the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. What can you tell us about all this crazy stuff that's been happening at school for people who don't know?
All right. Well, essentially, the university has recently announced that they plan on raising international tuition fees by 10%, and they plan on raising fees to live in residence by 20%. And apart from these decisions really being something that I don't think the student body agrees with in general, the justifications that they've given have really, in my opinion, galvanized students to a lot of issues that are happening not only at UBC, but in terms of public education in general and higher education in Canada.
Totally. So there's been a pretty good, I feel like anyways, a good response to this on campus, hey?
Well, yeah, I saw something that said that people obviously voted in the AMS referendum to not have tuition raised, and they just went ahead and did it. So we gotta lend our voices out.
Yeah, and I think in terms of the referendum, what's interesting is that, yeah, over 90% of students voted that they didn't want a tuition increase, also under the reasoning that education is a right. During the same referendum, we also voted for the university to divest from fossil fuels and oil and gas corporations. And I think in essence what's happening is that the Board of Governors is really acting with absolutely no accountability to students. And, you know, what we try to do is really use these channels of the referendum.
Yeah.
And use these different channels to really make our voices heard. But essentially, over and over again, it seems that the Board of Governors is really not taking, especially for undergraduate students, their needs into account, and basically committing or wanting to commit a lot of actions that are going to affect us negatively for a really long time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing that makes me think of is it drives home the point that it's really important to vote in the AMS referendums. I think a lot of students go like, oh, there's no point, this doesn't do anything, but it's a voice that we have, it's an outlet for that, so.
Right, well, I mean, and that's what we're trying to say is that it's really a two-pronged approach. I mean, we have to vote, but then as we see right now, it's never enough, right? So we really have to apply the political pressure to get our voices heard and amplified and actually get what we want on the decision-making table. So essentially, we do the referendum, we go through the channels, and then nothing happens. And that's because there's not a sustained political amount of pressure that is really confronting the Board of Governors and telling them that this isn't just, you know, this isn't just a nice little vote that we're doing for one day. You know, we really have to be able to say that we're going to do this in a sustained way.
Totally. So, I mean, that leads us basically to what's happening on campus next week.
Yes, exactly. So the idea behind the teach-in is, first of all, we understand that UBC is a really big place and that sometimes we want to be involved, but the spaces aren't there. So what we're trying to do is really create those spaces that give students a voice, that tell students that they can take action, and also about information and education. So we're hoping that a lot of people that are active within the university community take a second and say something at this teach-in. It'll be open to everyone, and it also hopefully be an opportunity for the AMS to say their position, for the AMS to say what they're doing and the activism that they're doing, and basically try to build power in a legitimate way and in a sustainable way.
Nice.
What are the details of the event, just for those out there who would like to join and be a part of this?
Well, the teach-in is happening at 12:30 at Martha Piper Plaza. Cool. And of course, and Martha Piper Plaza, where is that? Well, it's the big fountain in the middle of campus.
Nice.
And yeah, well, we're hoping, you know, it's a high traffic area. There's a lot of people. We're hoping people will come with banners. People will come with their energy. People will come and they'll have something to say and they'll want to do something and they'll want to take action. We're hoping that the AMS, the AMS will be there and they'll be able to give us some more information and really provide that educational component. We're inviting professors if they feel like they have something to say and they want to stand in solidarity to come with us. If students have something to say, they'll be able to do that as well. And it's basically going to be an open forum to just all gather and assemble and have this opportunity to really talk to one another and build those connections.
Yeah, awesome. And kind of hopefully if we get a big turnout, show that we're not just going to, that we are invested in these decisions that they're making and that we're not okay. Like we're not just going to kind of We'll do what we can to make a difference, I guess, is what I'm going for with that statement. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's been really exciting just looking at the response in terms of, you know, obviously the response of social media, but I mean, the response is also overhearing conversations on campus and seeing that people are really engaged in this process, because I think that, you know, like I said before, it's not necessarily the decision that was made, because of course, a lot of people disagree with that fundamental decision, but it's the justifications that were given. And, you know, essentially, I think the main problem is that the justifications that were given are not justifiable. And in a lot of ways, I think it's actually an insult to our collective intelligence that, you know, we would accept this as a status quo and we're not going to do anything. And it's just, you know, it's again with this trope that students are apathetic and, you know, we'll never do anything and we'll never be able to claim our place at the table. And I think, you know, through this mobilization, hopefully we'll be able to completely change that discourse and change that narrative.
Totally, totally. That's awesome. Yeah, so for those of you who are looking to find out like a little bit more or just kind of getting involved or spreading the word, I would recommend going on to the Facebook event online. And is there any other areas where people can find information about, like, has UBC, where they can go look up the justifications UBC has posted about the increases or anything like that?
Well, I would say check out the two student newspapers, so the Talon, the UBC. I think that more and more information comes out, we'll be able to have a better understanding of what it is that their justifications are. I know that Andrew Parr, who's the director of UBC Housing, was recently interviewed in the Vancouver Sun, and mm-hmm. Anne Kessler, the VP academic of external affairs, no, VP academic and university affairs, was also interviewed. So they can check out that article on the Vancouver Sun where, you know, again, the logic of the 20% increase in housing is that it has to match Vancouver rental rates. But over and over again, you know, people are not paying $900 or at $1,000 for 250 square feet, which is the Via Ponderosa. The logic is flawed and the reasoning behind it is flawed. And, you know, I think the AMS is so far doing a really good job in highlighting how that is problematic and highlighting how that's just not something that we're going to accept, you know, lying down and not putting up a fight.
Totally. Awesome. So you come from a little bit of a political background, or you have some other stuff going on that relates pretty closely to this, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think another thing to talk about with the UBC increase is really that it's part of this pattern. And the pattern is essentially that UBC is claiming that what they need to raise, let's just use residents as an example, they need to raise the rates of residence fees because that is the Vancouver market. That's what the Vancouver market is. And as we know, in Vancouver, there is a huge housing crisis. And I think that students don't realize that we don't have to be paying so much money for really substandard housing in the city of Vancouver. So even those of us that don't live on campus, that live in Vancouver, know that finding housing that is adequate, that is safe, that is affordable is a huge, huge issue. And that affordability crisis in Vancouver, again, is not because it's inevitable, but it's because the policies that have been created at City Hall are actually creating this housing crisis that we find ourselves in. So both of these problems with UBC and Vancouver are extremely interrelated. And myself, along with a couple of other student organizers, we're organizing through the Vancouver municipal elections, and we created a youth-led, completely youth-driven initiative called Youth Rise Up. And basically, we're throwing all our support behind COPE, who's a municipal party, and Mina Wong, who's a mayoral candidate, and I'm also running with COPE, of course, but nice. We believe that COPE has the platform to actually address the housing crisis needs and to actually address these issues, and that actually takes into account the voice of young people and creates the city that we can be proud of.
Yeah. Dang. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about Youth Rise Up, or do you feel like that was kind of the good, like, intro spiel and you want to direct people into a different, a certain place or time to get more information?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, the interesting thing with Youth Rise Up is that we really find that people are, like, the response has been overwhelmingly positive. And, you know, I think our reasoning behind starting it and the reasoning behind all the organizers behind it and all the people that are taking initiative is that, you know, we're smarter than what Vision Vancouver thinks we are. We're smarter than what the UBC Board of Governors thinks we are. You know, mm-hmm. like, we're no longer accepting this reasoning that we're no longer accepting our voices to be silenced, to be marginalized, for us to just be this afterthought in the way that the city is planned or in the way that the city is governed. It's really, you know, it's really important for us to not only use creative means, because I think young people in general have this amazing amount of creative energy, an amazing amount of good solutions, an amazing amount of opportunity to craft the future. But it's also about, like, making other people realize that, you know, like, we have this whole meme going on with DJ Gregor Robertson because we find that, you know, it's this attempt to try and placate us into thinking that because he DJs, he's good for young people. And of course, you know, he's not. And we have to be able to talk about that and say that in this way that is really powerful. And, you know, it's, yeah, memes are pretty effective, which of course is a huge learning thing. But in general, just holding those spaces for young people to assemble, to organize, to talk to one another, you know, those are the types of ideas that those are the types of spaces that create these movements to really try and create a better future for all of us, really.
Sweet.
Yeah, well, we need to be living here if we can have a part in all of this, so, and be able to speak out about it. So yeah, no, it's an excellent cause, and it's a big deal for all of us.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's the most important thing that we have to realize, or at least for me, one of the biggest lessons is that you know, the struggles on campus and the struggles in the city and to a large part the struggles at the provincial level, at the federal level, every single governing body says the same thing, and that's that it's not in their jurisdiction to do something about it. So the UBC Board of Governors says, well, we can't do anything about it because this is the Vancouver market. The city council says, well, we can't do anything about it because it's the provincial level. Provincial level says, oh, we can't do anything because it's the federal level. The federal level says, we can't do anything. Oh, that's the way the international global economy works.
Yeah. Politics, isn't it just fantastic?
You know, I think at one point, you know, we have to say, well, no. You know, no, because essentially you can't just say that when you need to increase funding, it's not in your jurisdiction, but when you want to listen to market forces, then all of a sudden that's in your jurisdiction. And that's like a fundamental contradiction that, you know, I think that's why it's important to apply political pressure to the system while continuously voting in people or parties that you find will represent you the best.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's both, you know, it's on campus and it's good timing because there is this municipal election on November 15th. And if you are a Canadian citizen, you are eligible to vote. And another issue that we found is that if you live on campus, you're actually not part of the city of Vancouver, right? So you're not eligible to vote.
Interesting.
You're not eligible to vote in the city elections.
That's so crazy.
That yeah, seem... because, yeah, and, you know, another issue is that the UBC Board of Governors is the most undemocratic governing body. They're all appointed by the, most of them are appointed by the BC Liberals. Most of them have ties to oil and gas corporations. Most of them have ties to, you know, this corporate and capitalistic way of seeing the world that really undermines, you know, the university as a system of public education, which again, puts us on this trajectory where they think that they can raise tuition by 10%, where they think they can raise residence fees by 20%, and nobody's going to say anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, all those things are intensely problematic, but, you know, youth are rising up. So.
That's good, though, because I think youth have a hard time feeling like there is an actual representative body or organization that reflects their views or reflects how important these things are. So it's very cool to see you guys out there doing Youth Rise Up, because it affects every single one of us, even us that think it doesn't, it does. So it's really
right.
Cool.
And
that.
I think that's also part of our messaging, at least for me, I can talk for myself, is that I think there's this idea that all these day-to-day realities for us is part of this inevitable trajectory that yeah. really all we have to do is just sit there and this is what's happening to us and what are we going to do about it? But, you know, that's not the way it works. Like, essentially these policies are working all the time. We just don't necessarily make the connection between the policy that was created and our day-to-day reality. So, you know, it's this process where we have to appreciate, we have to understand, we have to know that we can create, there are alternatives to the status quo, right? I think a lot of us are kind of really disengaged with the process because there is no alternative. And that's absolutely true in a lot of ways. But at the same time, we have to create the alternative, right? We can't always be waiting for somebody else to do it. And I think that this is the process that's happening right now, and this is something that I think is really gonna pick up steam, hopefully, over the next couple of weeks on campus and during the municipal election.
Absolutely, and hopefully it's sustained as well, right? So that's excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. Is there any other last thoughts, things you wanted to add in before we let you go?
I would just say I encourage every single student, whether you agree, whether you disagree, come on Tuesday at 12:30, come to the teach-in. It's going to be an opportunity for us to reclaim. It's going to be an opportunity for us to actually believe that we have the power to make a change, because we do. And, you know, we talk a lot about resistance, activism, all this different type of stuff. And we always point to countries elsewhere, to places elsewhere. But, you know, UBC has a radical history of really effective activism. Our university was created on this idea of the Great Trek, of demanding public education. Our new sub was created because a few really principled people said, we're not going to let condominiums be built in the center of campus. You know, so we actually do have the capability to create that change and to change the discourse of what it is exactly that we want UBC to be. Because if we want it to be a place where, if we want it to be a place of accessibility, then that's not going to come easy. And we have to demand it, and we have to ask for it, and we have to create that reality.
Absolutely.
So come on Tuesday.
I could not have said it better myself.
And go check out Youth Rise Up. They're on Facebook, and they also have a website. And...
Yes, and on the topic of Youth Rise Up, our website is www.youthriseup.ca. We have a manifesto. We have four issues that we're really focused on. Our logo is a lemon, because we think that as young people, we're being dealt a lemon. And what are we going to do? We're going to change the system. So we're going to go
awesome.
Further than lemonade,
yeah.
And we're going to really try and reclaim our right to the city and reclaim our right to actually building a future that we can be proud of.
Yes.
All right. Fully. That's so great. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm feeling super excited myself.
Yes.
I'm going to join all this stuff. You got me right in there. So, yeah, just to go
yeah.
ahead.
I will see you on Tuesday, I guess.
All right. Awesome.
See you out on the battlefield.
Yes. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, that was Alana Schechter, a member of Youth Rise Up and running for Vancouver School Board position, I believe, actually in the election. So thanks to her for coming on air and talking about that with us. So we're going to play some more music for you guys, and you can listen to it and ponder all of the really inspiring things that we've been...
Get motivated.
Yeah.
Get stoked about this stuff.
Yeah, it's important. It affects you. Don't just, you know, opt out of life and walk past and pretend that you don't see, which is what a lot of people do. I know you do it. I've seen you do it. So we are going to play... The next song we're going to play is called Rattlesnake, and it is by the one and only Saint Vincent.
Follow the power lines back from the road. No one around, so I take off my clothes. Am I the only one in the only painted the Rio Grande. Am I the only one in the only
Okay, and you are listening now to CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. That was the song Year of Silence by Crystal Castles.
And before that, we had listened to St. Vincent, and the song was called Rattlesnake off her self-titled album.
That's a fantastic one. Very sad news about Crystal Castles breaking up this week, but maybe someone here pointed out that perhaps this means that Alex Glass will go back to making some more punk music like she has in the past, which would be pretty awesome. So, yeah. We got a very exciting song to play for you now. I am very, very lucky to be able to play for the first time a new track from Vancouver band Lié. This song just got its off of their forthcoming album that will be out in December called Consent, and the track is called Almost. So I really hope you enjoy it. If you're listening to it here, you are hearing it for the first time. So more before anybody else. Pretty rad. All right, this is Lié with Almost. We'll be right back. This is Femme Concept on CITR Radio, and that was the song Mess by the band Cousins, who are, I believe, from Halifax, maybe Ontario, I'm not sure. That was off of their album The Halls of Wickwire, which came out back in the beginning of the year. And before that, we heard a track by Coban called Cool Wind off of their album Vide, I can never say these things right. And then before that, I have to correct myself because I said that new Lie song was called Almost, but it's actually called Casual Embrace. And that's off of their forthcoming album that will be out in December. Very exciting. You should also look for a feature on them in the upcoming Discorder magazine for November. So, yeah, we have only 10 minutes of the show left. Erica's about to leave us, but what are you going to leave us with?
I'm going to leave you with something a little bit different. We're going to switch it a little bit around. I'm going to play Bag of Hammers by Tao with the Get Down, Stay Down off the album We Brave Bee Stings and All.
Sick album name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Lots of words.
Cool. Well, have a good class.
Thanks. See you later.
I have sold everything, still I have got some manners. And there's a hole in your head, spilled your thoughts on the floor. We wanted you bad, you wanted it more. The trick is, you do not get on that interstate bus. The catch is, you stay and see what becomes of us. Shake, shake.
All right, so 5 minutes to go here, and I just want to remind you to stay tuned in for the upcoming programs. We've got Cam and Tyler with Radio Zero, and then after that it is Nardwar, and then the news will be on at 5, so you should definitely stick around. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks to Alana for her great interview about the teach-in next week and about Youth Rise Up. This has been FemConcept, and I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite songs by Angel Olsen, and it is called Lights Out. And I hope you all have a fantastic weekend.
If you don't feel good, the things we need the most, they seem to take a little longer. No one's gonna try it for you, darling, no one. No one's gonna wait there with you. Just when you thought you would turn all your lights out, got a sense of humor, you're not so bad. No one's gonna fear it the same as it said. No one's gonna listen to it straight from your head. If you feel like running out and stand in one place, when you still then turn around. If you really mean it, baby, stand your ground.